Well, before we continue our study of the seventh church, the letter to the Laodiceans, we should pray. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you for this occasion each week. We stop and pause from the rest of life and the rest of the world and the rest of the hustle and bustle activities and stress and strain. We come together to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that we still have this freedom in America. Thank you that you have challenged us from your word. Do not forsake the assembling together of the saints. It's good for us to come together to worship you. Thank you that we get to today. I do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with churches all over our city, our counties, our state, this nation, around the globe. May the name of Jesus be lifted high, and you, our Heavenly Father, be glorified today as we worship you corporately, collectively, like this. Father, I do want to pray today again for those names on our prayer focused and others that aren't on the prayer focused but that are hurting. I want to lift them up to you this morning, Father. Many reasons. In our family, in our community, in our friends and neighbors. Many reasons to hurt and be stressed out and strained. Father, I want to lift them up to you and ask for a divine intervention, whether they hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually, whether they're just drained of seemingly all life. Father, I want to lift them up to you today, and I ask that you would touch them in a very special way, in a powerful way, in a transforming way, and I pray that once again we would experience your love, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy all over again. As we look at Scripture again this morning, Father, will you guide us by your Spirit? Will you help us with the last phrase that Jesus has said in every one of these letters? Will you help us, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit? We have ears, and Jesus challenged us in all seven of these letters. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, will you help us to have ears that hear from you this morning? Guide us now, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Before we go back to Revelation 3, where we left off last week, we're going to pick it up at Revelation 3:14. Again, the lukewarm church. I want to mention a different scripture first to start with, and I'll tell you why after I've read it. I was reading this week some of Paul's letters, Timothy, Thessalonians, some of those writings that Paul wrote. And I was reading 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. If you have that verse, will you put it on the big screen for me? And I was struck once again at the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy when he said, "Now by this we know that..." I'm in the wrong one, sorry. Jump to the next one. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." I don't think I have to tell you, you're bright enough, you're aware enough of the surroundings to recognize that we seem to be in the last days of the last days. Amen? Things are happening that we have never seen before. The dots are being connected that the Word of God speaks about. And I ran across these words. Paul said that the Spirit expressly, or some of your translations explicitly, the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. We would say, how or why? And Paul then gives answer. He says, by giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You see, our ear will be attentive to something other than the gospel, and when we are listening to that message of, as Paul says, deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons, we begin to cool off in our faith, perhaps even become lukewarm. And in time, Paul says, people will depart from the faith. That's not Jim's words. That's from the Word of God. This departure, I looked up that Greek word. I'm not very good at pronouncing Greek words, but I looked up that Greek word, and the definition for that word, depart, is to remove, to revolt, to desist, to desert, to withdraw self, depart. Why do I mention this before we go back to the church that he talks to about lukewarm? This reason. Lukewarm in any of us leaves us vulnerable to depart. Are you hearing me this morning? When we start to cool off in our fervor for Jesus, well, if I have time, well, if I get to it, lukewarm leaves us vulnerable to departure. That's why I mention, I believe we're in the very end of times. I don't know if the Lord's going to come today or in 100 years. I don't know that. But the dots are all being connected. He will return. His great love for us is such that he poured out his love to us by sending us his Son. He simply invites us to trust him, to repent of our sin, to come to him and follow him. And these churches that we've talked about in Revelation over these weeks and months, at one point, I think really wanted to follow him. And then we see as we've gone through this series, some have fallen from their first love. They don't love him like they used to. Or some of the churches have become corrupt. Some have become compromised. And this one he calls the lukewarm church. Let me read again these few verses. And then pick it up kind of where we left off last week and elaborate on the second half of this short letter to the church. Here's what he says, lukewarm church. Revelation 3:14, if you're following in your Bible. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, Jesus is speaking now to the church, remember, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And then Jesus says, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. There's that verse again. We looked at it last week for a moment. As many as I love, Jesus said, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And then the promise that Jesus puts in all seven of the letters to the overcomers, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Last week we looked at what Jesus thinks of the lukewarm church. And his words are very clear, very direct. I will vomit you out of my mouth. And I quoted last week from Pastor Francis Chan when he stated about this letter to the church at Laodicea, Pastor Chan said, and I quote, "This is a letter to America." And as we worked our way through this letter, we started to look at the argument that takes place when they were accused of being lukewarm, and we read through that some last week, when they said in their spirit, "I have need of nothing. I have become rich after all. I'm doing okay." And the bottom line, whether it was their words, whether it was their actions, whatever it was, in their spirit, in their life, in their action, in their words, "I have need of nothing." But Jesus said, there are great needs. You see, in their mind, in their eyes, I'm perfectly fine with the Lord right where I'm at. I'm fine. And Jesus said, "You do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." And I would ask us, whether we're listening on Facebook Live today or sitting here, I'd ask us to ponder this question for a moment. Is it possible that out of our abundance in America, God has blessed us? Amen? God has blessed us. Is it possible that out of our abundance right here in this great nation, our dependence upon the Heavenly Father has diminished? Is it possible that because we have such great abundance, and we might even say, as they have said, "I have need of nothing," is it possible that we too have become lukewarm in our zeal, in our passion, in our following Jesus? Is that possible? Jesus said, in your mind, you're saying, "I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing." But the opposite is actually true. You see what he's saying? And I think Pastor Francis Chan is right when he said, this is the Church of North America today. Not 100%, but too much of the time. We have arrived at this point also. I have become rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. I'm just fond of the Lord. When really Jesus said just the opposite of that is true. You're not rich at all. You're poor. You're blind. You're wretched. You're miserable and naked. Let me ask you another question to ponder. Do these words, wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked, sound like a right relationship with God to you? Do those words describe a right relationship with God? Jesus is speaking to the church here, remember. He's not speaking to those that say, "I don't want nothing to do with God. I don't claim to be a follower of Jesus." He's speaking to the church. Francis Chan made a little comment about that in his sermon that I mentioned to you last week. He said, he asked us to remember, do you remember the song Amazing Grace? And of course we do. We all know the song Amazing Grace, where the words say, "I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind and now I'm still blind." No, that's not what it says. That's why I ask us, do these words that Jesus is describing the church of Laodicea, and I believe Francis Chan is right, probably describing to a lot of the church in America today, do these words sound like we are in a right relationship with God? Naked, poor, miserable, wretched, and blind. Jesus says to the lukewarm church, to the lukewarm Christian, to the lukewarm nation, you have become blind, very poor, the opposite of what you think. But in 18, verse 18, Jesus also says to that lukewarm condition, to that wretched, blind, miserable, naked condition, I have an answer. He says, I have an answer for you. I have an answer for your lukewarmness. When he says, I counsel you, Jim, and all the rest of us, in your lukewarmness, I counsel you. I have an answer for that wretched lukewarm blindness. I counsel you to buy from me gold, that you really will be rich. And he's not talking about a gold bar. He's talking about abide in his mercy and his grace and his love and his goodness. I counsel to buy from me this gold, he says. I counsel to get some salve and anoint your eyes so that you can really see the condition that you found yourself in. Because right now, apparently, you can't see it. I counsel you to get some salve, anoint those eyes so you can really see me again. I counsel you to buy white raiment to have your nakedness clothed. Oh, he says, I have an answer. I have an answer for your lukewarm condition. I counsel you, come to me, he says. I mentioned this last week out of the words of Jesus here. This is actually a love letter. Because he said, as many as I love, he loves us. He loves us too much to keep going in the direction that's taking us away from him. Those whom I love, I chasten and rebuke. It's just like our kids. We love them, and when they go wayward, we might have a little chastening, a little rebuke to bring them back. That's how the Father's love is for us. You're going wayward, Jim, or church at Laodicea, or somebody else. And because I love you, there's going to be some chastening and some rebuke. Why? To get our attention. Be zealous, he said, and repent. Come back to me. That's why. I say thank you, God, for loving us in our sin, in our waywardness. Amen? Be zealous and repent, he said. Why would he say that? Because something's wrong. That's why. Something's wrong. Behold, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, anybody, hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus said, I'm knocking. And if, okay, he's talking to the wayward right now. He's talking to the lukewarm. He's talking to the wretched, the blind, the miserable, the naked, the poor. That's how he has described these church people. And he said, I'm knocking. And if you'll be attentive, if you'll hear, if you'll listen, and you'll open up the door, I will come in. You know what he's saying? Among a whole lot of other things, he's saying, I'm not going to kick the door down. I'm not going to force myself on anybody. But if you will open up the door, if you will recognize the condition that I have described to you, church at Laodicea, and perhaps church in America, and open the door and let me come back in, we'll fellowship again. We'll fellowship together. King James Version, I remember this from a kid long time ago. It says sup, S-U-P. We don't even know what that word means anymore. That's why we replaced it. Open the door, and I will come in and sup with you, and you with me. We use this verse quite a bit, we pastors and evangelist types, to beckon people to come to faith in Jesus. And while that is certainly okay, I believe, because I've done it too, and I know many others have, I believe that's okay. The context of this verse is to the church in Laodicea that has gone lukewarm. Maybe the context is for the church in America. You've drifted away from me, saith the Lord. You think that all is well, but I'm telling you, Jesus is saying to the church at Laodicea, it's not well. You assume your relationship with me is right and good and vibrant, but I'm telling you, you're wretched, blind, poor, naked, and miserable. That's quite a contrast, is it not? We assume we are rich, have need of nothing, and Jesus said it's not that way at all. But Jesus said in this verse, I'm still available. Hallelujah. Is that not good news? I'm still available. I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. If you'll open it, I'll come in. Jesus said, if you'll just hear, and he said this in every one of the letters, if you will just hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And in this letter to the church of the Laodiceans, he's saying, if you will hear me on this, I'll come in again. We'll get reacquainted. We'll fellowship together. We'll dine with one another. We'll sup together. This is what Jesus is saying to the church. And maybe to some of us today. Sometimes we, in Christian America, get comfortable at just sitting in church. Perhaps like the Laodiceans. Just going through the mechanics of religion. And all the while we're venturing further and further away from the Master. Haven't got that much time anymore. Haven't got that much resources. Haven't got that much energy, whatever the case may be. Been through tragedy, been through difficulty. If God ain't going to help me without, then I don't want to follow him. Whatever the reasons are, maybe the Lord is speaking to us today. You've cooled off in your fervor for me. And we get to this beautiful promise in 20 that says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. And then we get to 21 when he says, to him who overcomes, and I've mentioned this throughout the series, overcome means, are we listening? Are we going to respond to what he says? To him who overcomes, who takes the advice that Jesus has given to these churches and applies it to ourselves. Be zealous and repent in this case. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Is that not good? Hello? We get to sit with him on his throne forever. You say, Jim, it must be a pretty good throne. A lot of people are going to be there. I don't know none of them details. All I know is what he said. We get to sit with him on his throne. If we overcome and we listen to what he says, To him or her who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What a promise. What a beautiful promise. Then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If I realize Jesus is calling us to listen, if I realize my condition, if I really put him first, remember he used the word hot. He wants us to have a passion for Jesus that exudes from us. He calls us salt and light. If I will put him first, if I will surrender everything to him, oh, what a promise. I will grant to sit him and her to sit with me on my throne. Let me end with a scripture and a quote from Pastor Francis Chan again. In the same message and in another one, I've heard Francis Chan say this in books. I've read some of his books that he's written. I've listened to his sermons. And here's what he said, I quote, "It's not about praying a prayer." Now, some of you might get some heartburn about that, but let me elaborate. Our walk with Jesus might start with a prayer. We might be at the altar. We might be in the deer stand. We might be driving down the road. We might be at work. It might be a crying out to God in our anguish, wherever it is. It might start with a prayer. But as Pastor Chan said, our walk with Jesus is not about, okay, I said a prayer, now I'm going back to my own thing. That's not what he's asking of us at all. I think too oftentimes we have given a false sense of security and a false sense of hope. Say a prayer, you're good to go. And I think he's absolutely right when Francis Chan said, it's not about saying a prayer. That may be how we start our journey with Jesus, but it's a decision, it's a commitment, it's a willingness to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him no matter what, no matter where. That's what Jesus is talking about. Over and over and over in the Gospels, he challenged people, deny yourself. Peter, John, Andrew, James, are you willing to deny the fishing nets? Matthew, are you willing to walk away from the tax collector, that lucrative job you got? Are you willing to deny yourself to follow me? That's what he's asking. He didn't tell him to say a prayer. He said, deny yourself and come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he says to the Laodicean church, you were there at one point. You loved me. You listened to the words of Paul or Apollos or Barnabas or whomever. You put your faith in Christ. And now we got down the road here 30, 40 years, and pretty quick we're all cooled off, and we don't have that much love for Jesus. We don't have that much zeal. We don't have that much time. We have become lukewarm. And you know what he said about lukewarm? He said, I don't do lukewarm. I will vomit that condition out of my mouth. So I say to us today to close, he that has an ear to hear, let us be listening to what the Spirit says. You say, Jim, how can I know? How can I know? Have we repented of sin? Have we come to that point of saying, God, take over? I've made a mess of my life. Take over. I surrender it all to you. Are we willing to deny ourselves to follow the one who died for us? Have we got to that point? I'm going to follow Jesus. 1 John, to answer, how do I know, Jim? I'm going to give you two verses in 1 John, then I'm going to close. We're going to close with a song. John the Revelator writes in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Here's some proof You see how the application here is. If we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, we say we know the Lord, we say I'm a Christian, I'm as Christian as the next, and still walk in darkness, still walking like the world, still loving what the world loves, we're lying. That's what John says. And do not practice the truth. And then John says in the very next chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him. How might I know if I'm not lukewarm anymore? By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments. I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm talking about keeping his commandments because I love him and he's first in my life. John continues, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. You ask me, how can I know, Jim? That's how I can know. Have I surrendered my life completely to Christ? Have I allowed the Holy Spirit of God to come into me and to move me from who I used to be, wretched, poor, naked, blind, and miserable, to walking with Jesus? Have I let the Holy Spirit of God come in and let me and move me from there to here? If you're here today, friends, and maybe know that the church, the letter to the church at Laodicea is applicable, may I simply suggest we do what Jesus suggests we do, be zealous and repent. Open the door back up of our lives. Let him in. Let him in. And if you've never gotten to that point, may I simply suggest surrender everything to Jesus today before it's too late. Call upon him as Lord. Say in your mind, say in your heart, pray to God, and this could be your words, this could be your prayer. I want to follow Jesus. Help me to know how. I want to deny myself, take up my cross. I want to follow Jesus. Help me to know how. He loves you enough to know what you need and what I need. And he'll walk with us in this journey.
Loving Father, Almighty God, we praise you for this message today, that you are always working to draw us closer to you in a loving, intimate relationship. Because as Pastor Jim showed us in 1 John, to know you, it's not like a homework where we memorize something in our mind. This knowledge, this word know, means intimacy. It means deep, abiding, agape, unconditional love. Help us, Father, to learn this lesson from Laodicea. It's a call to just assess and look at our priorities. What is our true love in this world? Help us to fully surrender that knowledge, that we may come to you intimately with love unabounding, Father, that you give to us. Shower us this week. Help us to discover that love. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.